Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
So 7:42 on this Thursday morning, and we move along now to our next feature. Now, the mother of South African teacher Mushfiq Daniels, who's been missing in Vietnam since July this year, is saying that she's not giving up the search for her son. Now, Fahima Abrams has been in Vietnam since the 10th of July looking for her son, who was last seen in Ho Chi Minh City, Saigon, around about the 5th of July. You know, she's been active on social media, reminding people, you know, that she is keeping and remaining positive, and criticized, you know, some of the reports that, you know, alluded to the fact that there were fears of criminal activity linked to organ trade in her son's disappearance. But joining us online this morning to share with us a bit more, all the way from Vietnam, is Mushfiq Daniels' mother, and that is Fahima Abrams. Fahima, assalamu alaikum. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Walaikum salam, Shabira. How are you?
I'm very well this morning. How are you, considering everything that's going on?
Mentally, physically drained and exhausted, but not giving up.
And that's a spirit to keep. Now, Fahima, let's take it back to the start. You know, when Mushfiq had initially left South Africa to go abroad. Speak to us about the early days first.
Well, Mushfiq was all excited, and obviously he wanted our blessing, as he wanted to spread his wings. He wanted to come and teach, and he came on holiday to Vietnam, and he fell in love with Vietnam, and he decided to come and teach here. That was in March last year, I think it was, or the year before. And then he did a course, a peaceful course here in Ho Chi Minh City, where they place you at a school. He taught at the Ruby School in Phu Nhuc, where he lived for almost a year. I actually came to visit Mushfiq in December. He invited me to spend my birthday with him because I was missing him so much. And then he was quite fine. He was happy. He was healthy. He was enjoying teaching, although it's very tiring because the weather is against you. It's like today, it's like, feels like 40 degrees.
Wow, okay.
The pollution is heavy. You have to move around in a bike because of the amount of people, the population is like 20 million just in the city. So getting around, is the only way to get around is on a bike. So I basically have been on a bike since the day I came here because that's the fastest way to move around. We have basically done all the legwork ourselves. I have my younger son with me that's 25. And then I also have a cousin with me that is, has got a knee problem. She had like 9 operations on the knee. But when she heard the news, she said, I'm there for you, my sister. Okay. I'm coming to help you.
Sure.
And seriously, you need help, not just physically. You need help mentally to help you think what to do next. Because every single day there's something to do.
Okay. Now, Fahima,
yeah,
when
so
was
this
it...
is what we've...
Sure. Now, when was it realized that, you know, Mushfiq had gone missing?
It was around the 5th of July. I chatted to him on the 3rd of July.
Okay.
I noticed something was amiss. He didn't sound himself. And then, but he was trying to, the way I see it now, you know, I had a lot of time for introspection and thinking and pondering what could have been going on. He's been trying to, not to make me worry. So he was saying, Mommy, I'm fine, I'm coming home. Because I said, you need to come home for Eid.
Yeah.
It's two Eids, you haven't been at home, you need to come home. So he was finishing off his lease, that was the 30th of June, as well as his contract. So he said, Mom, just give me a week or two, and then I'll be in Cape Town for Eid. And that was what I was expecting, because we were in contact every single day. We sent each other messages, how we're doing, what we're doing, motivational, inspirational, little messages every morning. So this was our context. So I knew exactly what Mushfiq was going through, and I knew, I just had that gut feeling that something wasn't 100%. I knew that somehow the thing that got me worried was, Mom, I'm exhausted. And then another thing that worried was, Mom, I'm not sleeping.
Mm.
And that for me was, I was really worried about it.
Fahima, you know, have you been able to...
July,
Have you been able to speak to people who knew Mushfiq while he was there? His social circle, so to speak, you know? Yes. Did he have friends? Yes. What have they been saying?
Yes. Yes. Mushfiq, in fact, they didn't notice anything. You see, the thing that's the life in Ho Chi Minh City is very, very, very busy, very hectic. It's just work, home and work. So the time that he did get off, he'd spend with a few colleagues or so. And he had a very close friend from America that they started the course together. They ended up in same schools together. And they didn't notice anything amiss. They didn't notice anything. They just thought, no, Mushfiq is fine. I actually asked someone from Malaysia that was Mushfiq that particular day I think it was close to the end of July. Imran, please tell me, is Mushfiq okay? Because I just had this feeling Mushfiq is not doing well. No, auntie, he is okay. He is okay. But obviously a mother knows better. I know better because I've been in contact with Mushfiq daily. So when he didn't contact me for a few days, I really got worried. He was supposed to come home for Ramadan. He said, Mommy, I'd rather go to Indonesia. Because you always told me our roots are from Indonesia, Java. That is where I want to be for Ramadan. Because I might not get the opportunity to go there again. So I said, okay, Mushfiq, if you feel that way, you can go. He experienced an extremely spiritual journey. He said it's like being back home. And the echoing of the Azan and the recitals and the humility and the poverty and all those things. He said he experienced the best time of his life, and that was being true in Ramadan.
Now,
and just from there on,
yes. Things went downhill. So tell me, when he went missing, who was the last person to see Mushfiq? And then what process sort of followed in terms of starting to find his whereabouts, in terms of the authorities, Durko, who had you contacted? When did you get yourself to Saigon, Faima?
Yeah. The last he was seen from another expat. She's also from South Africa. She saw him on the street. And she was so shocked because Mushfiq was bare feet and bare chested, and she knew something was amiss. And she tried to talk to him, and he just walked away like somebody that doesn't know what's going on here, like somebody totally disorientated. Well, the first thing we did as we got on the plane, the first thing we sent emails to the embassy. We've notified him that Mushfiq has last spotted the 5th of July and he's been missing since. Then we had very little response from the embassy after email upon calls. The immigration called us to let us know that Mushfiq hasn't left the country. And then after, it was about 3 weeks ago, we decided to go there personally to the embassy, which is 2 hours ago. I mean, sorry, 2 hours away by flight. We went to the embassy and I spoke to the ambassador personally. And the ambassador wasn't very helpful, except that he said, this missing person is not our expertise. And the only way we can help is apply clear to the Vietnamese government. And we will help once you find Mushfiq. We will help with his passport, with his paperwork, and that is as far as we can help.
Okay.
I was quite disappointed.
Now, in terms of,
disappointed in them.
Sure. Faima, we are pressed for time and I want to get through, you know, some of these other questions that have been coming through in terms of there was an individual that had seen him on the streets, like you mentioned, you know, he walked away. Have there been other sightings of Mushfiq and, you know, have they been followed, you know?
Yes. Two weeks ago, he was spotted on a beach close by. We tried to follow that up. The ISA honorary consulate helped us with volunteers on bikes. That was twice. And we searched the whole area. Like one area, the area alone that they saw him on the beach was as big as Mitchell's plane. So that is a feat on its own. So every night, we we're not getting bikes every night, so we have to do it on our own. The police are not very helpful. I don't know the reason, but I suspect the reason why the authorities are not on board. Interpol hasn't contacted me as yet either. So my suspicion is that because of the negative media back home, which Mr. Ilyas Suleiman has put a damper on our whole search. It didn't just put a damper on it. I think it tarnished Mishtik's name because it was even in the local news here. So obviously people's not going to even bother looking at it or not even bother looking at the poster. So now they have these two cases confused and made it, you know, like it's the organ trafficking thing. Mishtik got a mental breakdown. He's on the street. He was seen on the street 2 weeks ago. He needs help. The longer it takes to find Mishtik, the worse it gets for him. Now he doesn't even know his own name.
Yeah, I want to ask you, you know, as a mother, of course, there's been rumors that have been going around. There are individuals within our community that have made, you know, comments with regards to Mushfiq. You mentioned about the mental breakdown, which we can understand as well. But do you think Mushfiq could be in some sort of trouble where he's unable to reach out? Do you think there could be something more at play here?
No, as my gut feeling since the moment I got here, this is the thing I would like to highlight. It's not easy for me to speak about it.
I know, yes.
This is why I've been having a hard time with the media or the negative media. Mushtik's family has a mental health. It's hereditary. It has a mental health problem and it's hereditary. Mushtik was no way that we would have known it would affect Mushtik as well. So I know the signs, I know the symptoms, I know exactly what Mushtik is going through right now. Because without medication, without any medical treatment, Mushtik is losing memory like you won't believe. This is the danger, this is the difference. And, you know, it's hard for us to speak about it, especially in our culture. People don't pay attention to things like that. It's like the taboo subject. You can't speak about it. You can speak about any other illness, but you cannot speak about a mental illness, a psychiatric illness. This is an illness I've been dealing with for 10 years. I know exactly what I'm dealing with.
Right.
So this is what happened to Mushtik, and he tried to protect me and tried to handle it himself. This is way beyond him. Cannot control this. This is something, I think it's the worst illness ever.
Fahima, well, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. I know there's a lot going on for you, but just on a final note, we have about 60 seconds to go. You're away from home, you're with your child, you're with your cousin. What sort of assistance do you need, you know, in terms of help that the community can assist with? What would you like to say to them this morning?
You know what? The most important thing that I need the most is manpower, people on the streets, because it's in this area. This area is so huge. We are three people. We've been searching day and night. So the main thing is manpower, and the second thing is to be able to stay here. We need financial assistance, whether it's a 10 rand. We have been living off donations and from family and friends back home.
Now, of course, you know,
those are the main things.
Sure. If, you know, listeners would like to get hold of you or contribute, how can they go about doing so?
Mushtik has a page on Facebook, Finding Mushtik, Ho Chi Minh City. You'll find a buddy fund on there, and you'll find, I try to update as much as I can.
All right. Well, Fahima, let's leave it at that for this morning. We certainly will be keeping tabs on the story and keeping in touch with you. But once again, thank you so much for giving us your time and sharing with us this morning. All right. Go well.
Shukran so much for allowing me this opportunity. Shukran so much.
All of the best to you. Salaam wa rahmatullah. And that was Fahima Abrams, Mushfiq Daniel's mom, chatting to us all the way from Vietnam.